Sometimes, in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it. And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only
is
Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. Your Twitter account. For the record, it was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president? And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton, who is likely to be the Democratic nominee, that you are part of the war on women?
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct.
Well, I just don't respect her as a journalist. I have no respect for her. I don't think she's very good. I think she's highly overrated. But when I came out there, you know, what am I doing? I'm not getting paid for this. I go out there, and, you know, I didn't know there'd be 24 million people. I figured, but I knew it was going to be a big crowd because I get big crowds. I get ratings. They call me the ratings machine. So I have, you know, she gets out and she starts asking me all sorts of ridiculous questions. And, you know, you can see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. But she was, in my opinion, she was off base.
So no apologies to Megyn Kelly?
No, not at all. I said, look, she asked me a very nasty question. I have nothing against Megyn Kelly, but she asked me a very, very nasty question.
Sometimes in the heat of debate, and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it. And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
I use a slightly off word, slightly off. When I call this really bad senator, she's done nothing. She's done nothing. She said she's Native American. And I said, Pocahontas, it's Pocahontas. And somebody said to me, one of the media, Mr. Trump, would you apologize? I said, yes, I'll apologize. To Pocahontas, I will apologize.
He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war
Five and a half years.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Does Donald Trump owe you an apology?
No, I don't think so. There's so many men and some women who served and sacrificed and happened to be held prisoner, and somehow to denigrate that in any way, their service, I think, is offensive to most of our veterans.
Donald Trump owes every American veteran, and in particular John McCain, an apology.
Sometimes in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it. And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
Governor Bush, Mr. Trump has suggested that your views on immigration are influenced by your Mexican-born wife. He said that, quote, if my wife were from Mexico, I think I would have a soft spot for people from Mexico. Did Mr. Trump go too far in invoking your wife?
He did. You're proud of your family, just as I am.
Correct.
To subject my wife into the middle of a raucous political conversation was completely inappropriate, and I hope you apologize for that, Donald.
Well, I have to tell you, I hear phenomenal things. I hear your wife is a lovely woman.
She is.
I
she's
don't
fantastic.
Know her, and this
she
is a
She is absolutely
total
the love of my life, and she's right here, and why don't
Good.
You apologize
Good.
For her
No, I won't
right
do that
now.
Because I said nothing yeah. wrong, but I do hear
so
she's a lovely woman.
You said in September 30th that ISIS was not a
Am I
not
talking or are you talking, Jim?
I'm
you
talking right
back.
Now. I'm talking.
You can go back. You're not
talking.
You interrupted me,
September 30th,
Jim. Are you
going to
apologize, Jeb? No. Am I allowed to finish?
Yeah, one at a time.
Excuse
go ahead,
me. Am I allowed to finish?
Go ahead, Mr. Trump.
So,
little of your
again,
own medicine
I,
there,
I know
Governor,
you're trying
Governor
to build
Bush,
up your energy,
please.
Jeb, but it's not
one,
working
One at
very
a time.
Well.
Yeah.
Do you think this is tough and you're not being treated
this
fairly?
This isn't tough and easy.
Imagine
I wish
what it's going to be like dealing with Putin.
I wish it was
Putin,
always as easy as
President
you,
Or dealing with President Xi. Or dealing with the Islamic terrorism that exists.
Yeah.
This is a tough business to run for president.
Oh, no, you're a tough guy, Jeb.
And we need to have a leader that is principled.
Tough.
You're never going to be president of the United States
tough,
by insulting
Jeb, yeah?
your way to
well,
the presidency.
Well, let's see. I'm at 42 and you're at 3. So far, I'm doing better.
Doesn't matter.
So far, I'm doing better.
We have an unbelievable bond. We have an
but
unbelievable
You retweet some of those. Not just the fans.
Yeah, but not the more nasty ones. You would be amazed at the ones I don't retweet.
Bimbo?
Well, there was a retweet. Yeah, did I say that?
Many times.
Ooh, okay. Excuse me.
What do you think with, I mean...
Not the most horrible thing. You know, again, politically, not the most... Over your life, Megan, you've been called a lot worse. Is that right? Wouldn't you say?
Correct. Why didn't you read that? By the way, why didn't you read that before? No, but why didn't you read that before? You didn't read... I hate the concept of a... Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me, very trustworthy.
more so than you, because you know what? You didn't read the question. See, when you quoted Tim Russert, you didn't read what you just said. Read it again. No, read it again. Go ahead. Okay, you didn't read. Why didn't you say, and when you asked the question before, that I hate the concept of abortion? No, 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 no. You were quoting Tim Russert, and you were quoting, excuse me, you were quoting Tim, and you were quoting me. Why didn't you read my quote the way I said it? Well, then you got to get Wi-Fi, okay? Don't ask me questions like that. You're not a very good reporter doing that. Okay, go ahead. Money to the vets. You have a question that now is a legitimate question? Do you apologize? No, do you apologize? Yeah. For not reading my words. No, no. For not reading my words. No, do you apologize for not reading my words? Excuse me. Do you apologize for not reading my exact words? No. I didn't ask that. I didn't ask that. Excuse me. You quoted me and you took out the main part of the quote. I'm just asking, do you apologize? Okay, forget you. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
He appeared to mock a reporter with a disability.
Written by a nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said. Sometimes in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it. And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
First of all, Rand Paul shouldn't even be on this stage. He's number 11. He's got 1% in the polls. And how he got up here, there's far too many people.
I kind of have to laugh when I think of, sounds like a non-sequitur. He was asked whether or not he would be capable and it would be in good hands to be in charge of the nuclear weapons, and all of a sudden there's a sideways attack at me. I think that really goes to really the judgment. Do we want someone with that kind of character, that kind of careless language, to be negotiating with Putin? Do we want someone like that to be negotiating with Iran? I think really there's a sophomoric quality that is entertaining about Mr. Trump, but I am worried. I'm very concerned about him having him in charge of the nuclear weapons, because I think his response, his visceral response to attack people on their appearance, short, tall, fat, ugly. My goodness, that happened in junior high. Are we not way above that? Would we not all be worried to have someone like that in charge of the nuclear arsenal?
Mr. Trump.
I never attacked him on his look, and believe me, there's plenty of subject matter right there that I can tell you.
But Jake, I'm sorry.
All these crazy Mr. Flies are floating all around, making me so something. Something I said when I lost my mind. My temper to you makes me blind.
So, you know, and I actually told Donald, one of the debates, I forget which one, I apologized to him for that. I said, you know, I'm sorry that I said that. It's not who I am, and I shouldn't have done it. And I didn't say it in front of the cameras. I didn't want any political benefit. I'm not a candidate now, so I can say that to you. Because, not because of him, but because of me. You know, I didn't like what it reflected on me. It embarrassed my family. It's not who I am.
I also want to apologize to you, because I've said a few things about you over the years that are, you know, in polite company, perhaps are unforgivable.
Almost
unforgivable.
And some nice things. And some nice things.
Not too much. I don't remember saying anything nice. But anyway, I hope you'll accept my apology.
Accept.
And I just want to give you the opportunity. Is there anybody you'd like to apologize to right now yourself?
No.
Why did you apologize?
Because I think it's of quality for leaders to apologize. And the apology is requesting a same apology on his side for offending Mexicans. And I think today being Cinco de Mayo, it's a good opportunity for him to explain and apologize, because we don't want to stay with that offense all throughout the world. We don't want the ugly American back into the world that was 20th century. We don't want the hated gringo anymore in Latin America. And we've been working peacefully in a very strong partnership with the United States, with United States citizens, with United States corporate world. And fortunately, we've been creating the jobs in Mexico. And fortunately, now the trend of migration has reversed. Now there are
President
more
Fox, I want to ask you more, if you don't mind, about the economic ties and our interdependencies in a minute. But you said you apologized in an act of good faith. Have you heard from Donald Trump?
No, none at all. And it's a good occasion, this Cinco de Mayo, for him to do.
Well, she has a new hairdo. Did you notice that today?
That's called a wig.
Is that a wig?
I think it's a wig. Nothing personal. Look, I'm not against wigs. People can wear whatever they want.
It's okay. But, you know, I tell you what, it really was shocking to see it, because you're right. It must be. It was massive. You know, her hair became massive.
There can be no prosperity without law and order.
Knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
We'll beat the shit out of them.
You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks.
Anyone who endorses violence, hatred or oppression is not welcome in our country and never, ever will be.
And he's walking out like big high fives, smiling, laughing, like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
I will restore law and order to our country.
So you have said positive things about Putin as a leader. And about China's massacre of pro-democracy protesters at Tiananmen Square, you said, quote, when the students poured into Tiananmen Square, the Chinese government almost blew it. Then they were vicious, they were horrible, but they put it down with strength. That shows you the power of strength.
Part of the problem and part of the reason it takes so long is nobody wants to hurt each other anymore, right? I alone can fix it.
Sometimes in the heat of debate, and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words, or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it. And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
There was a man named Kaiser Khan speaking at the Democratic Convention. His son, Captain Humayun Khan, was killed serving in Iraq. And he had some very tough questions for you. He said you wouldn't have even let his son in America.
He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife If you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that. And personally, I watched him. I wish him the best of luck,
George. What would you say to that, Father?
Well, I'd say we've had a lot of problems with radical Islamic terrorism. That's what I'd say. We have a lot of problems where you look at San Bernardino, you look at Orlando, you look at the World Trade Center, you look at so many different things. You look at what happened to the priest over the weekend in Paris where his throat was cut, 85-year-old beloved Catholic priest. You look at what happened in Nice, France a couple of weeks ago. I'd say you got to take a look at that because something's going on and it's not good.
He said you have sacrificed nothing and no one.
Well, that sounds, who wrote that? Did Hillary's scriptwriters write it?
How would you answer that, Father? What sacrifice have you made for your country?
I think I've made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs.
Those are sacrifices?
Oh, sure, I think they're sacrifices. I think when I can employ thousands and thousands of people, take care of their education, take care of so many things, even in military, I mean, I was very responsible along with a group of people for getting the Vietnam Memorial built in downtown Manhattan, which to this day people thank me for. I raised and I have raised millions of dollars for the vets. I'm helping the vets a lot. I think my popularity with the vets is through the roof.
And now Shelton Cigarettes, Best Friend Dog Food, and Fighter Jacks bring you the voice of grassroot wisdom. Lonesome Rhodes on the Cracker Barrel.
You know, boys, what really bugs me about our limey cousins is the way they keep on trying to act like a first-class outfit when their store is having to close up its branches all over the world.
That's telling them.
He's getting more global every minute.
That's the Lord's truth.
Well, look who's stopping by to chew the fat with us around the old Cracker Barrel. Senator Worthington Fuller. Hey, howdy, Curly. How's my old bunkmate? Fine. It's a real pleasant surprise. Come on in and meet the boys. Yeah.
Hello, man.
Sit down here on the Cracker Barrel. Get your feet up on the stove there. That's a boy. Now you look at home. Well, here we are. All set for a real...
Hello, Mr. Miller. A long time no see you, sir. Grandma, usual. Wake
up, Barbara. And just let the vermouth blow a kiss at the gym.
Yes, sir. In just a little while, I'm going to be talking some questions at old Curly Fuller here. I should say, Senator Worthington Fuller. Senator, I got...
You waiting for someone?
I understand the
question. I don't remember y'all doing that before.
Back in my little old... I talk to 1,000 people a day. This gives me a chance to unwind.
You got some good and too much raw whiskey. We didn't know that swallowing too much raw politics could put a crease in your head a whole lot deeper than that homemade Kickapoo jaw juice we used to concoct back in Arkansas. I wish you'd give me the real cotton-picking truth about how you feel on the subject of more and more and more Social Security. I'm glad you asked me that question, Lonesome. I'd say that people today are obsessed.
Huh?
I mean, real gone for security. They want protection, coddling, from the cradle to the grave. I say that weakens the moral fiber. Why, Daniel Boone wasn't looking for unemployment insurance and old age pension. All he needed was his axe and his gun and a chance to hew a living out of the forest. With his own hand.
Real woodsy, ain't it?
Sometimes, in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it.